and welcome to Poets' Corner. I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy. Today I'll be reading from Shakespeare's Love Sonnets. A sonnet is a 14-line poem with the last two lines as rhyming couplets. And they're written in iambic pentameter, which just means five beats to the line, like pa-dum, 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 which is said to mimic the human heartbeat. Shakespeare wrote 154 of these sonnets. They are some of the most beautiful poetry ever written in the English language, and wonderful for sharing with someone you love because they're short and to the point. I'll start reading with sonnet number 18, and none of these have titles, they just have numbers. This is one of the more famous of Shakespeare's sonnets. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime, too, hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this poem gives life to thee. Sonnet 129. The expense of spirit in a waste of shame is lust in action. And till action, lust is perjured, murderous, bloody, full of blame, savage, extreme, rude, cruel, not to trust, enjoyed no sooner, but despised straight, past reason hunted, and no sooner had, past reason hated, as a swallowed bait on purpose laid to make the taker mad. Mad in pursuit and in possession, so had having and in quest to have extreme, a bliss in proof and proved a very woe, before a joy proposed behind a dream. All this the world well knows, yet none knows well to shun the heaven that leads men to hell. Next is Sonnet 116, and it's my very favorite, but I'm going to explain one line here. It says, or bends with the remover to remove, and that means the person that used to, back in the 1600s, go and take the arrows out of the target after practice is called the remover. 116. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh, no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved. Sonnet number 29 is also one of my favorites, and you may be somewhat familiar with it. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy contented least. Yet in these thoughts myself almost despising, haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered, such wealth brings that then I scorn to change my state with kings. Sonnet 130. My mistress's eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. I have seen roses damask'd, red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight than in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go. My mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with faults compare. Sonnet 104. To me, fair friend, you never can be old. For as you were when first your eye I eyed, such seems your beauty still. 3 winters cold have from the forest shook 3 summers' pride. 3 beauteous springs to yellow autumn turned in process of the seasons have I seen. 3 April perfumes in 3 hot Junes burned since first I saw you, fresh, which yet are green. And yet doth beauty, like a dial hand, steal from his figure and no pace perceived. So your sweet hue, which methinks still doth stand, half motion, and mine eye may be deceived. For fear of which, hear this, thou age unbred. Ere you were born, was beauty's summer dead. Sonnet number 1. From fairest creatures we desire increase, that thereby beauty's rose might never die. But as the riper should by time decease, his tender hair might bear his memory. But thou, contracted to thine own bright eyes, feedest thy light's flame with self-substantial fuel, making a famine where abundance lies, thyself thy foe, to thy sweet self too cruel. Thou that art now the world's fresh ornament, and only herald to the gaudy spring, within time, own bud, buriest thy content, and tender churl makest waste in niggarding. Pity the world, or else this glutton be, to eat the world's dew by the grave and thee. Sonnet 65. Since brass, nor stone, nor earth, nor boundless sea, but sad mortality, or assuage their power, how with this rage shall beauty hold a plea, whose action is no stronger than a flower? Oh, how shall summer's honey breath hold out against the wrackful siege of battering days, when rocks impregnable are not so stout, nor gates of steel so strong, but time decays. O fearful meditation, where, alack, shall time's best jewel from time's chest lie hid? Or what strong hand can hold his swift foot back? Or who his spoil of beauty can forbid? Oh, none, unless this miracle have might, that in my black ink my love may still shine bright. Sonnet number 17. Who will believe my verse in time to come, if it were filled with your most high deserts? Though yet heaven knows it is but as a tomb which hides your life and shows not half your parts. If I could write the beauty of your eyes and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say, this poet lies. Such heavenly touches ne'er touched earthly faces. So should my papers, yellowed with their age, be scorned, like old men of less truth than tongue, and your true rights be termed a poet's rage and stretched meter of an antique song. But were some child of yours alive that time, you should live twice, in it and in this rhyme. Sonnet 16. But wherefore do not you a mightier way make war upon this bloody tyrant, time, and fortify yourself in your decay with means more blessed than my barren rhyme? Now stand you on the top of happy hours and many maiden gardens yet unset, with virtuous wish would bear your living flowers, much liker than your painted counterfeit. So should the lines of life that life repair, which this time's pencil or my pupil pen, neither in inward worth nor outward fair, can make you live yourself in eyes of men. To give away yourself keeps yourself still, and you must live, drawn by your own sweet skill. Sonnet number 41. Those pretty wrongs that liberty commits when I am sometime absent from thy heart, thy beauty and thy years full well befits, for still temptation follows where thou art. Gentle thou art, and therefore to be won. Beauteous thou art, therefore to be assailed. And when a woman woos, what woman's son will sourly leave her till he have prevailed? Ay me, but yet thou art mightest my seed forbear, and chide thy beauty and thy straying youth, who lead thee in their riot even there, where thou art forced to break a twofold truth, hers by thy beauty tempting her to thee, thine by thy beauty being false to me. Sonnet 98. From you have I been absent in the spring, when proud pied April, dressed in all his trim, hath put a spirit of youth in everything. That heavy Saturn laughed and leaped with him. Yet nor the lays of birds, nor the sweet smell of different flowers in odor and in hue, could make me any summer's story tell, or from their proud lap pluck them where they grew. Nor did I wonder at the lily's white, nor praise the deep vermilion in the rose. They were but sweet, but figures of delight, drawn after you, you pattern of all those. Yet seemed it winter still, and you away, as with your shadow I with these did play. Sonnet 114. Or whether doth my mind, being crowned with you, drink up the monarch's plague, this flattery? Or whether shall I say mine eye saith true, and that your love taught it this alchemy? To make of monsters and things indigest such cherubims as your sweet self resemble, creating every bad a perfect best as fast as objects to his beams assemble? Oh, 'tis the first, 'tis flattery in my seeing, and my great mind most kingly drinks it up. Mine eye well knows what with his gust is greeing, and to his palate doth prepare the cup. If it be poisoned, 'tis the lesser sin that mine eye loves it and does first begin. Sonnet 51. Thus can my love excuse the slow offense of my dull bearer when from thee I speed. From where thou art, why should I haste me thence? Till I return, of posting is no need. Oh, what excuse will my poor beast then find, when swift extremity can seem but slow? Then should I spur, though mounted on the wind, in winged speed no motion shall I know. Then can no horse with my desire keep pace. Therefore desire of perfectest love be made. Shall neigh no dull flesh in his fiery race, but love for love thus shall excuse my jade. Since from thee, going as he went, woeful slow, towards thee I'll run and give him leave to go. Sonnet 63. Against my love shall be as I am now, with time's injurious hand crushed and o'erworn. When hours have drained her blood and filled her brow with lines and wrinkles, when her youthful morn hath travelled on to age's steepy night, and all those beauties whereof now she's queen are vanishing or vanished out of sight, stealing away the treasure of her spring, for such a time do I now fortify against confounding age's cruel knife, that she shall never cut from memory my sweet love's beauty, though my lover's life. Her beauty shall in these black lines be seen, and they shall live, and she in them still green. Sonnet 109. Oh, never say that I was false of heart, though absence seemed my flame to qualify. As easy might I from myself depart as from my soul, which in thy breast doth lie. That is my home of love. If I have ranged like him that travels, I return again, just to the time, and not with the time exchanged, so that myself bring water for my stain. Never believe, though in my nature reigned all frailties that besiege all kinds of blood, that it could so preposterously be stained to leave for nothing all thy sum of good. For nothing in this wide universe I call but thee, my rose. In it thou art my all. Sonnet number 25. Let those who are in favor with their stars of public honor and proud titles boast, whilst I, whom fortune of such triumph bars, unlooked for joy in that I honor most. Great princes' favorites their fair leaves spread, but as the marigold at the sun's eye, and in themselves their pride lies buried, for at a frown they in their glory die. The painful warrior famous for worth, after a thousand victories once foiled, is from the book of honor raised quite, and all the rest forgot for which he toiled. Then happy I that love and am beloved, where I may not remove or be removed. Sonnet number 33. Full many a glorious morning have I seen flatter the mountaintops with sovereign eye, kissing with golden face the meadows green, gilding pale streams with heavenly alchemy. Anon permit their basest clouds to ride with ugly wrack on his celestial face, and from the forlorn world his visage hide, stealing unseen to west with this disgrace. Even so my sun one early morn did shine with all triumphant splendor on my brow. But out, alack, he was but 1 hour mine. The regent cloud hath masked him from me now. Yet him for this my love no whit disdaineth. Sons of the world may stain where heaven's sun staineth. Sonnet 152. In loving thee, thou knowest I am forsworn, but thou art twice forsworn to me, love swearing. In act thy bed vow broke, and new faith torn, in vowing new hate, after new love bearing. But why of two oaths breach do I accuse thee, when I break 20? I am perjured most, for all my vows are oaths but to misuse thee, and all my honest faith in thee is lost, for I have sworn deep oaths of thy deep kindness, oaths of thy love, thy truth, thy constancy, and to enlighten thee, give eyes to blindness, or made them swear against the thing they see. For I have sworn thee fair, more perjured I, to swear against the truth, so foul a lie. Sonnet 154. The little love god lying once asleep, laid by his side his heart in flaming brand, whilst many nymphs that vowed chaste life to keep came tripping by, but in her maiden hand the fairest votary took up that fire, which many legions of true hearts had warmed. And so the general of hot desire was sleeping by a virgin hand disarmed. This brand she quenched in a cool well by, which from love's fire took heat perpetual, growing a bath and healthful remedy for men deceased. But I, my mistress's thrall, came here for cure, and this by that I prove, love's fire heats water, but water cools not love. Thank you for listening to Poet's Corner, as we shared some of Shakespeare's sonnets. I am your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Rexy. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left click on Demand Podcasts. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.